Hi there, my Israelite brothers and sisters. Welcome to Brother Hebert Presents. This is part one of The Priesthood. This paper is found in the main menu at www.thinkoutsidethebeast.com. This study is on the priesthood. It covers all three priesthoods as well as the counterfeit priesthood. The three priesthoods are of a patriarchal order, the Levitical order, and the order of Melchizedek, which is pronounced Melchizedek. I have always been interested in who Melchizedek is. I've prayed for knowledge on this subject, and the information I am about to present is based on what I could find, what I can prove, and what I believe the Holy Spirit has shown me and guided me through. I am not claiming that my opinion of Melchizedek is right and all other opinions are wrong. I will not support division among kinsmen over differences in understanding of this subject. It's one of those doubtful disputations because no one can be certain who Melchizedek is.
It is the mark of an educated man to be able to entertain a thought without accepting it. Aristotle.
This study is based on what I have found and pieced together, and I am presenting this information and connecting the dots according to my understanding of who Melchizedek is. So here we go. And please, feel free to email me and let me know what you think.
Links and email at the end of the document.
If I'm wrong, I'm wrong and will adjust accordingly. My intentions are to share, teach, and edify in love and respect. Again, I want to be clear that I am not claiming my understanding of Melchizedek is the definite answer. I am simply presenting what I believe to be the closest possible answer, based on all the information I could find, and put it together to reveal the picture of the puzzle. I would say that I am 80 to 90% sure about the mystery of Melchizedek. This study will shine a light on the three stages of the office of the priesthood. It includes the order of Melchizedek, which began as a patriarchal ministry starting with Adam. The next stage in the order of Melchizedek is the ministry of the Levitical priesthood, which began with the sons of Levi. The final stage of the order of Melchizedek was assumed by Christ, our high priest. The last part of this study deals with the infiltration of the Edomite Jews into the second stage of the priesthood, which was the ministry of the Israelite Levitical priesthood. We will also see some very important details that transpired during the last days of the Levitical priesthood, which had become corrupted and taken over by Edomite Jews, which was made void, and how Yeshua Messiah became high priest in the order of Melchizedek. Very exciting stuff. I encourage you to give this presentation a fair shake. There are so many treasures and clues and factoids that will really make you appreciate the marvelousness of Yahweh's plan and order. This is a confusing topic for many people, scholars, preachers, and researchers. Please examine this whole study before you choose to agree or to disagree, because there are many things going on here. One mistake is assuming David was in the order of Melchizedek from the passages in Psalm 110, which is a psalm of David stating Yahweh's oath, which is a prophecy of Christ and not of David. David was simply instructed and chosen by Yahweh to reinstitute the Levitical priesthood according to the pattern instructed by Yahweh for the Levites during their training in the wandering in the wilderness, which they strayed from during the time of the judges. Another bit of confusion comes from going by the Masoretic timeline, as opposed to the original timeline found in the Septuagint. The Masoretic texts are a deliberate modification done by the Jews in order to shave off about 1380 years for anti-Christian theological reasons, one of which then argues that Christ could not be the Messiah. The Book of Jasher is Israelite literature and quite accurate and fills in a lot of history and important details and events which the Bible leaves out. The major flaw of the Book of Jasher is the timeline is skewed because it was tampered with to fit the Masoretic agenda. For example, because of this, many believe that Shem was alive when Abraham lived. This is impossible because Shem would have been 1,230 years old at the birth of Abraham. Shem lived 600 years. Another note is that the King James Perversion is a version from the Masoretic texts. The Masoretic texts are corrupt. Also, the priesthood had three separate stages which started from Adam and continues into the everlasting kingdom and reign of Yeshua. If I had only one sentence to explain the order of Melchizedek to you, it would go like this. The order of Melchizedek is a three-stage order which began with Adam, a patriarchal ministry, passing on to the eldest son in each generation until the time of Abraham, where the order then was passed on to the office of the Levites, a tribe of priests which ministered to all the tribes of Israel, and then, upon his sacrifice, Yeshua Messiah assumed the office and order of Melchizedek from henceforth forever. Now I am going to explain the order of Melchizedek as if I have only 10 minutes to do so. I want you to have an idea of what is going on before we get into the study, research, verses, and references. If you can stick with this study to the end, the information provided should clear up the confusion and bring to light the mystery of Melchizedek. Here we go. Yahweh's plan is to have his kingdom built here on earth. Psalm 25:13. The man that reveres Yahweh, his soul shall dwell in prosperity, and his seed shall inherit the earth. 37:9. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon Yahweh, they shall inherit the earth. 37:11. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Matthew 5:5. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Matthew 6:10. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. 24:46. Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, shall find so doing. The angels were appointed to be superintendents of the earth, to govern the creation, keep it in order, and to preach righteousness and be in constant reverence to the Creator. The angels failed. A third of the angels rebelled against Yahweh and formed abominable things with his creations. Yahweh cast Satan and his angels down to the earth, where they are reserved for judgment. Revelation 12:7. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceives the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Luke 10:18. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power and authority to tread on serpents, the counterfeit race and their Luciferian doctrine, and scorpions, the scattered venom of 33,000 denominational church versions of the gospel, and all over the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. The angels were fired and removed from their duty. The earth needed a superintendent. This is reminiscent of the parable of Matthew chapter 21. Yahweh, being the householder, and our Adamic race being the vineyard. The husbandmen were to tend the vineyard. The priesthood would be the husbandmen, which were to cultivate the fruits of the vineyard, which they did. But the unrighteous priests took advantage of the servants. They even killed the son of the householder of the vineyard. Well, before we were born on the earth, we were in the heavens with the Father. So the Father sent his son Adam to be the new superintendent of the earth. This was the first Adam, spoken of in 1 Corinthians 15:45, a living soul. Adam was clothed in Shekinah glory, doing a great job as superintendent, cultivating the garden, dressing and keeping it, freely eating of it, naming all the animals. Life was grand, and Yahweh gave Adam a bonus, a woman taken from his own DNA to be his helper in his own likeness. But everything was about to change when Eve and himself sinned. They lost their Shekinah glory and became mortal once again. Yahweh was very upset, but he did not fire Adam from being superintendent. As a result of their sin, they were banned from the garden and sent into the world to start the test called mortal life. Now, Adam and Eve were the only Adamites among all Adam kind that were born from above. They had Yahweh's DNA and were his literal children in flesh and blood, born from above with Yahweh's spirit. Adam's job was to teach his children after him about Yahweh and his creation, to teach them to be righteous, to teach them their set-apart heritage and the way. The Bible is the book of the generations of Adam.
Genesis 5:1.
Within the spirit-endowed race of Adam is a traceable patriarchal line of descendants that lead to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jacob's name was changed to Israel, and through his 12 sons came our forefathers and our kinsman redeemer, Yeshua Christ. So naturally, since we are a kingdom of priests, a holy, set-apart nation, there would be a need for a priesthood. Yahweh gave his children laws to follow, which result in blessings and a passing grade for this mortal test, which results in a resurrection unto eternal life and the placement of sons and daughters in the kingdom. When his children fail to follow his laws and they stray from the way, repentance is required and atonement must be made. This is what a priesthood is for. They were mediators. The priesthood of men were just mortal men. They had to offer their own sacrifices and be cleansed of their own errors before they could offer atonements for the people. The atonements made were for that year. The blood of animals cannot absolve sin. It is only a temporary covering over of sin. Atonement was made yearly. The priesthood went through three separate stages, and they demonstrate that men, or a priesthood of men, can never make anyone perfect, can never absolve sin, and can never remain righteous. But the idea is to try. This test of life is to constantly, consciously, and sincerely strive for righteousness. Philippians 3:14. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of Elohim in Christ Yeshua. 1 Timothy 2:4. Who will have all men to be saved, and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one Elohim, and one mediator between Elohim and men, the man, Christ Yeshua, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be witnessed in due time. Yahweh's plan is to have his children live righteously and do right ruling. In Yahweh's kingdom, there will be only righteousness. A kingdom of priests, a holy nation, an eternity of righteousness. To accomplish filling the kingdom with righteous children, they must first be taught righteousness. Adam was set as king of the earth. He was given the dominion by Yahweh, and Adam and his children after him are to build the kingdom. Adam was the first preacher of righteousness, a king of righteousness, a priest in the order of Melchizedek. Melchizedek is from two Hebrew words that mean king and right. Melech, king. Tzedek, justice, rightness, righteousness. King of right. Adam was obviously the first in the order of Melchizedek. The second in the order of Melchizedek is Adam's eldest son, Seth. Abel was murdered by his half-brother Cain, son of Nachash. Cain was the first Jew, the son of that wicked one. Seth assumed the title of Melchizedek when Adam died. When Seth died, his son Enos became Melchizedek. This was the order of the Melchizedek priesthood, a patriarchal minister to the family of Adam. The eldest son in the line of Seth assumes the office of Melchizedek. Enos, son of Seth, dies, and his son Canaan is fourth in the order of Melchizedek. Canaan dies, and his son Mahalaleel becomes the fifth high priest in the order of Melchizedek. Jared, son of Mahalaleel, is the sixth in the order. Jared's son Enoch is taken up by Yahweh before his father Jared dies, so the order skips Enoch, and Enoch's son Methuselah becomes the seventh in the order of Melchizedek. Lamech was Methuselah's son, but Lamech died before his father Methuselah, so Lamech's son Noah was the eighth preacher of righteousness in the order of Melchizedek, as attested in 2 Peter 2:5. Noah was not the eighth person. He was the tenth patriarch from Adam. Noah was the eighth in the order of Melchizedek. Noah and his family at that time were the only righteous people in the land. All the sons of Adam did not remain righteous. They adopted the ways of Cain and his sons, and mingled with them until there was no remedy. So Yahweh sent the rain, and broke the fountains of the deep, and flushed the land by water. A new start, and a continuation of the line of Adam and his sons through Noah, the eighth preacher of righteousness. The kingdom building must continue. Noah's son Shem was Melchizedek when his father died, becoming the ninth in the order. Shem is the line from whom we Israelites descend from. Shem's son Arphaxad assumes the office as the tenth preacher of righteousness. His son Kenan is the 11th. Kenan's son Salah becomes the 12th, and his son Eber, father of the Hebrews, becomes the 13th in the order of Melchizedek. Eber's son Peleg dies before his father, so Peleg's son Reu becomes the 14th preacher of righteousness. Reu's son Serug, his son Nahor the first, and his son Terah are skipped because they were idolaters. Terah was the father of Abraham, Haran, and Nahor the second. There are two Nahors, Terah's father Nahor the elder, and Terah's son Nahor the younger. The order of the priesthood would go to Nahor the second. Nahor the second would have been Melchizedek, whom Abraham paid tithes to. The order would not continue through Nahor's sons. Yahweh's chosen people would come from the line of Abraham, not Nahor the second. This is why the patriarchal office of the priesthood expired, and the office was inherited by the sons of Levi. The first stage of the priesthood of Melchizedek was a patriarchal order. It lasted for 3,400 years. The eldest son of the chosen line of Adam's descendants, generation after generation, became the high priest of the order of Melchizedek until that order expired with Nahor II, Abraham's older brother. I have come across some information which has me lean toward the patriarchal order expiring with Moses when the second stage begins its transference to the Levitical priesthood, which was established at Sinai, and training took place during the wandering in the wilderness. The priesthood transitioned from a patriarchal order to an office which was assumed by the sons of Levi. Levi was Jacob's son, whom Yahweh chose to be the priestly tribe. Adam kind had become many nations of peoples, and now the sons of Jacob were about to become a large nation and were anointed by Yahweh to be the light of all the nations of Adam kind. This would be too much for one mortal patriarchal high priest to handle. This is why the sons of Levi assumed the office of preachers of righteousness in the order of Melchizedek. The Levitical office had many duties which different sons of Levi were set charge over. The sons of Aaron were the chief priests over all the other sons of Levi. The priesthood was not vested in the tribe of Levi until after the law was given to Moses. When the children of Israel were wandering in the wilderness for 40 years, Yahweh gave Moses instructions, laws, and commandments to keep the children of Israel in the way. The book of Leviticus is the training manual for the priesthood. Its title in Hebrew is Vayikra, meaning called. The sons of Levi were called to be preachers of righteousness, priests, and custodians of the oracles of the Most High. When the people sinned, they brought a sin offering to the priests to make atonement for them. The priests were the mediators between God and men. The high priest performed the sacrifices, but the atonement was good for only that year. Yearly sacrifices were made because the blood of animals and the rituals performed by men cannot clear sin or make anyone perfect. The Levitical priesthood was an office of the order of Melchizedek for 1,600 years. There were some good priests and many wicked priests, and the nation was punished when the leadership was wicked and blessed when the leadership was righteous. King David was not a priest in the order of Melchizedek, but he was considered a type of Melchizedek. The confusion comes from Psalm 110, which is a prophecy of Yeshua Messiah and an oath. It's not speaking about David. However, David was the one who reinstituted the Levitical priesthood to its original order established in the book of Leviticus. The priesthood did not function properly during the time of the judges, and Yahweh chose David to restore it. David was also considered a type of Christ, but he wasn't Christ. There was not a sole Melchizedek priest anywhere at this time because the Levites held the office of preachers of righteousness. It was an office of priests, plural employment. No one else is ever mentioned as being Melchizedek after the time of Abraham and whom he paid tithes to, which I believe is Nahor the Younger, Abraham's older brother. The Levitical priesthood was the order, or held the office, during the second stage of the order. Since Yahweh promised us an inheritance in the kingdom, we cannot receive it if we are not covered from the penalty of sin. The wages of sin is death, not just the first death, but the second death. The Levitical priesthood cannot clear us of sin because mortality is temporary. Men, rituals, and the blood of bulls and goats cannot clear sin. Nothing but the blood of Jesus can provide a propitiatory shelter over you that cannot be removed, so long as you continue in the way.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
When Christ was resurrected, the Levitical priesthood came to an end, and Christ assumed the office of high priest, and forever after the order of Melchizedek. It's actually a little more detailed than that, and quite amazing, and we will cover that towards the end of this study. He was the last sacrifice. He is our sole mediator. He is our high priest, whom we must come to and repent, ask for forgiveness, and offer our obedience and allegiance to Him. To sacrifice the old sinful man or woman, and put on the new man or woman, and to witness to others of the good news that He is the anchor of the soul and has the power of an endless life. Now that you have the basic idea of what the order of Melchizedek consists of, let's begin our study and connect the dots.
The order of the high priest of Melchizedek.
Order, in Hebrew, is H1700, dibra, a noun. It means a reason, a suit or style, a cause, an end, an estate, an order, a regard. Order is also from H1697, meaning speech, word, speaking, thing, utterance, business, occupation, acts, matter, case, or manner. Order, in the Greek, is G5010, taxis. It's a regular arrangement, that is, in time, fixed succession, of rank or character, official dignity, order. It's also from G5021, to arrange in an orderly manner, that is, assign or dispose, to a certain position or lot, to appoint, determine, ordain, or to set. It's an arranging or an arrangement, an order, a fixed succession observing a fixed time. Due or right order, orderly condition, the post, rank, or position which one holds in civic or other affairs. This position generally depends on one's talents, experience, resources. Melchizedek in the Hebrew is H4442, Melchizedek, from H4428, a king, or royal, and H6664, the right, natural, moral, or legal, Also, equity, or figuratively prosperity, justice, king of right. The verb form means to be right, or to make right, to cleanse, to clear self, to be or do justice, to justify, to turn to righteousness. Melchizedek in the Greek is G 3198, Melchizedek, of Hebrew origin, H 4442, king of right.
Melchizedek is a title. It's the title of one of the patriarchs who held the position. It's the title of the office held by the tribe of Levi. And it's the title of Yeshua Christ, who holds the title, office, and order forever. The order of Melchizedek is an office, an occupation of Yahweh's priesthood on the earth. The person or group of people that hold the office, a preacher of righteousness.
Office is defined in Webster's 1828 dictionary as a noun, a duty, charge, or trust of a sacred nature conferred by God Himself as the office of priest. The verb is to perform, to do, to discharge.
What are the functions and duties of priests? Hebrews 5:1. For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to Elohim, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. The high priests held leadership positions, and he was overseer of the lesser priests. The most important duty of the high priest was to conduct the service on the Day of Atonement, the 10th day of the 7th month of every year. Only he was allowed to enter the most holy place behind the veil to stand before God. Having made a sacrifice for himself and for the people, he then brought the blood into the Holy of Holies and sprinkled it on the mercy seat, God's throne. The priests were mediators. They stood between the people and Yahweh. They performed the sacrifices and sin offerings, trespass offerings, and offered peace and goodwill offerings, burnt offerings, and grain offerings. The priests were also the doctors. Leviticus 12 through 14 covers many ailments, plagues, and skin disorders. Lack of health comes from lack of obedience. Sicknesses and calamities are signs and afflictions from Yahweh to get your attention that you are not walking in the way. When Yeshua died and arose, he became high priest and assumed the position of mediator to Yahweh. His death allowed him to provide a propitiatory shelter for us, to cover us from the penalty of sin. Sin was not done away with. The law was not done away with. We still sin every day, but that's why we have Yeshua as high priest. We don't bring a goat or a bull to a priest for our transgressions anymore. We bring repentance. We acknowledge our sins, we ask for forgiveness, and change our ways, and continue in the way. Men do not hold mediator positions for us to the Father anymore. Yeshua is our mediator to the Father. Only our high priest, Yeshua. When Yeshua healed someone, or forgave their sin, he instructed them to sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto you. Paul states in Romans 6:2, how shall we, that are dead to sin, live any longer therein? Dead to sin means that when you live righteously according to the laws and the way, we are dead to sin. And when you do not live according to the way, sin abounds. We can fall from grace. We can be numbered with the goats. we can be blotted out of the book of life. Christianity is a heritage and a way of life. There are three orders, successions, stages, styles, or ranks that the office of the priesthood went through. The first order was a singular priest. The oldest living patriarch, starting with Adam, was the preacher of righteousness. Adam was the first man of our race, born from above, that had the spirit and DNA of Yahweh. His duty was to keep the charge of Yahweh, walk in the way, and build the kingdom. The oldest living patriarch of the race of Adam was the leader, the high priest, the one who managed the family of God, and tithes and offerings were brought to him. Dr. Wesley Swift comments, "The books of Adam and Eve, and also the Book of the Bee, which are the oldest books we have of the Adamic history, as well as quotes made in the Book of Seth and in the early writings of Enoch, we find such concerning Adam and Eve. We discover that Adam fulfilled his duty in the priesthood, and this was strictly a race priesthood. As a patriarch of his household, we find that it was his responsibility to make a satisfactory offering, one in which blood was shed for the area of atonement of transgression until Messiah come. So this didn't start with Moses, it started way back in the days of Adam. Now, Yahweh himself, as a man of our race under the Melchizedek priesthood, becomes the high priest of our race, and as such boldly enters into the Holy of Holies. But first, he becomes the sacrifice, for he was without spot or blemish, thus an acceptable sacrifice. And as the sacrifice, he has made a consummate atonement for all Adam kind. And therefore, boldly, as the high priest can re-enter into the order of God, which is the power of his resurrection. Therefore, he tasted death for every Adamic man. So we are not without a high priest who was unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. He was a man among us, and yet he was Yahweh God. He did the ultimate atonement, and we cannot add to it. Therefore, there is no more atonement to be made. We don't have to sacrifice other than the symbol of communion, which is a living sacrifice. He being the Lamb, he being also a patriarchal priest, a Melchizedek priest, as well as the atoning priest. Now remember that Adam could not now help himself because he was wearing a tunic of fig leaves, the symbol of the priesthood of darkness. And remember that Yahweh sent Adam down to earth. So the first thing that Yahweh did was to sacrifice the animals and make a coat of skins for Adam. And he said,
"Now Adam, you know that you are naked, even though you are wearing this tunic of fig leaves. Because although this tunic may cover you physically, still it has no illumination, no aura, and it does not give you immortality. It does not sustain you, for your transgression makes you transparent."
So Yahweh then said to Adam,
"I will thus make an atonement, and I will now cover you with this coat of skins."
Then he made this statement to Adam,
"In this atonement, I will emerge out of your race, and in this emerging out of your race, this seed emerging through the woman will bruise the head of the serpent."
Then he explained this more extensively in the short summary we have from Moses, for in the Book of the Bee, then Yahweh told Adam and Eve,
"You are my son and daughter, and although you have been disobedient, and death has now come upon you, and although you have put this transgression upon all men, and all of your race must now be a part of this, still, I will restore you, I will make this atonement for you, and I shall redeem you."
Now, this is thus significant. No man could become a priest for Adam, as there was none higher than Adam, except Yahweh himself. Thus Yahweh said,
"Therefore, as the eternal priest, I will make this atonement for you, as you are my posterity, and I make this promise, that I shall redeem the entire race. I will restore, I will give back what you lost. This includes your lifestyle, your illumination, which is gone. Remember now that you are subject to sickness and disease and catastrophe. Still, the day will come when I shall restore everything you have lost."
In other words, the absolute supremacy of the priesthood of Yahweh is also passed down, now, in similitude, to his children, through their patriarchal responsibility. This is your reasonable service that you are to do. You are a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. This does not mean just one or two. This means every last one of your race has this responsibility in the earth to fulfill. We are told in the Old Testament of the work of these great patriarchs, those who God called forth of the race. At this time, there was no existing center of the church or the spiritual center of the called-out worshipers as such, for each and every patriarch was a high priest for his house, according to the call of God. This was one of the most important areas for men, for not only must they be holy and righteous, but also they must know the teachings of the truths of God, both by tradition and by effect. For in each household, the head of the household was the priest of that house, and the grandfathers or great-grandfathers continued in their work, and these were the high priests of the patriarchal patterns of the centuries. The second order, or stage, was the Levitical priesthood. Levi, a son of Jacob, was the tribe that Yahweh chose to be his priesthood to his people. They were the mediators between Yahweh and the children of Israel. Moses and Aaron were the grandchildren of Levi, and the chief, or high office, of the priesthood was given to Aaron and his sons, the Aaronic priesthood. He and his sons were the chief priests. The other Levites, not of the line of Aaron, had other jobs pertaining to the temple and priestly duties. The children of Israel brought their tithes, sacrifices, and offerings to the priesthood. The sons of Aaron performed the sacrificial ceremonies, rituals, and atonement for the people. This priesthood went through many stages of corruption and revival. After the last revival, which was when Ezra and Nehemiah and a remnant of the house of Judah returned from Babylonian captivity to Jerusalem, and a brief period, a few hundred years later during the time of the Maccabees, after those last revivals, the priesthood was taken over by the sons of Esau and Cain, Jews. The Pharisees, the Edomite priesthood, by the time of Christ, was controlled by the Edomite Jews, who were put into the Levitical priesthood by Herod, an Edomite Jew, after Herod had all the principal men of Judea killed. John the Baptist's commission was to cleanse the sons of Levi, what was left of the true priesthood, and prepare the last sacrifice, Christ.
Malachi 3:3.
When Christ died, the priesthood expired, along with the sacrifices, oblations, rituals, and ordinances that went with the priesthood. No more priesthood of men to intercede for the people, no more sacrifices or rituals, and the decrees added by the Edomite priesthood were made void. The Jews want to set up a third temple and resume sacrifices, which denies the first advent of Messiah, and the Catholics retain priests and the Pope as intercessors to God. But the Jews are the devil's children and are a priesthood of wickedness and darkness, and Catholicism is a priesthood to little g gods and was never a Christian religion. It's a Babylonian religion. Swift comments again. Were there priests before the Levites? Oh, there were patriarchal priests, the Melchizedek priesthood, which was this symbol. Then, Moses and Aaron were both actually priests, one of leadership and one of selected priesthood. They were Levites. Then out of this came the Levitical priesthood and the takeover of the acceptance of the ministry from the patriarchal order. Levi was set apart by Yahweh to be ministers and priests to Israel. Therefore, the Levites were scattered among all the tribes. They were a ministry given to all the tribes. The degree of the priesthood was established in the Old Testament, and it existed in the temples of Israel in the BC days of the covenant. But it was not because it had been delegated in the background of the Levites as to whether or not that certain family could ascend into a higher priesthood. It was the eagerness with which the Spirit served the longing within that particular set of Levites to search for the truth. Thus it is that the priesthood was separated by the discernment of the Spirit and appealed to this longing. This is why the early priesthood had the Urim and the Thummim. This was a factor for divining and was spirit-controlled. The priests came before Yahweh in the days of the Israelite nation, and those who spiritually desired to teach the mysteries of Yahweh were sealed by the Urim and Thummim, and others were placed in other areas of lesser responsibility. Swift believed that every called clergyman today has the Sivion to capture this covenant of Levi. Thus, every called clergyman today is a Levite. Bertrand Comparé adds, in Hosea 4:6, Yahweh said,
"My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you, that you shall be no priest to me. Seeing that you have forgotten the laws of your God, Yahweh, I will also forget your children."
We have seen this sentence enforced against us. We rejected the knowledge of Yahweh's laws until we have been rejected. We are not exercising our priesthood, so we have been deprived of it. Because we have forgotten the laws of Yahweh, we allow our politicians to lead us into one unrighteous disaster after another. Our children are forgotten to die on muddy battlefields all over the world. How may we regain our priesthood? Only by a return to Yahweh, for He alone may restore it to us. It cannot be restored by allowing alien minority groups to forbid mention of His name in our schools and public ceremonies. We cannot regain it by fellowship in a national conference of Christians and the Antichrist, and not by reducing all nations to equality with the lowest in the United Nations. No, only by cleansing our land of all these evil mistakes we have made in this generation can we regain what we have lost. In past centuries, our nation has gone through other periods of corruption and apostasy, though not as bad as this one. They did not produce disasters as great as the ones we are rapidly bringing upon ourselves. Because of Yahweh's promise, He will not forsake you, neither destroy you, nor forget the covenant of your fathers which He swore unto them. Yahweh has sent us, at such times, prophets to call us back to our faith and to cleanse the nation of its evils. The Levitical office of the priesthood had expired upon the resurrection of Christ. The second stage has fulfilled its purpose and was done away with. The third order is now Yeshua Christ, our mediator, high priest, and king in the order of Melchizedek. Now we must bring our spiritual sacrifices to Him. He is our mediator to Yahweh. His office is eternal and will not end. We honor Him by seeking knowledge and understanding and then practicing it daily. We pay our tithes to Him by loving our brethren and sharing in our abundance, by witnessing to our kinsmen. Through obedience to His ways, we perform our duty, and as a result, we are building the kingdom. It is up to us to stand and be counted. We can no longer bring a goat to a man in a priesthood to put a band-aid on a sin that an animal sacrifice cannot heal. Only our allegiance, or faith, and obedience to Christ can allow us to stand before Yahweh. Wesley Swift taught that Melchizedek was Yahweh embodied in the flesh walking on the earth in the BC days. Some, including Sheldon Emery, say that Jesus Christ was Melchizedek in Genesis 14, and others even say it was a Canaanite king. Christ was not a king on the earth during the BC times, and His first physical appearance we can be sure of was when He was born to Mary. A Canaanite most certainly was not a preacher of righteousness. The Canaanites were a motley crew of cursed seed tribes, which included sons of Cain, sons of Canaan, the cursed son of Ham and his mother by incest, and many of the Canaanite tribes had some fallen angel offspring and Rephaim giant blood mixed in as well. And many believe Noah's son Shem was Melchizedek in Genesis 14, to whom Abram paid tithes to. Shem would have been over 1,200 years old then, and this is based on a Jewish Masoretic timeline, which deletes over 1,300 years of time between Adam and Abram. This study will demonstrate that the order of Melchizedek is an office of shepherds of the Most High. Each stage is represented by the same family or race of people, Adamites, the Adamic race. Adam was the first in the order of Melchizedek, followed by the eldest son in each generation, which follows all the way to Nahor II, Abraham's older brother whom he paid tithes to. We will see this when we cover Nahor II in this study. Though there are no records, I believe the patriarchal order continued after Nahor II through Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph, and culminating with Moses before the order went to the office of the Levites during the Exodus. When Abraham dedicated his son Isaac on the altar to Yahweh, at the command of Yahweh, Isaac's seed after him through Jacob became Yahweh God's chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. The sons of Jacob became a multitude of people during their time in Egypt. When Yahweh took the children of Israel out of Egypt, he gave them their instructions during the wandering in the wilderness. Yahweh married the children of Israel at Sinai when he gave Moses the law and made a covenant with all Israel. At this point, the need for a priesthood for the multitude of people was installed. Levi, a son of Jacob, had the honor of being the priestly tribe, and the office of the priesthood was transferred to the sons of Levi. The transition from the first stage of the patriarchal order went to the Levitical office of the priesthood for the nation. Yahweh gave instructions to Moses and Aaron for everything pertaining to the priesthood. Aaron's sons were chosen as the chief priests. They were in charge. They handled the sacrifices, the dismantling of the holiest of holies, and packing the vessels and instruments used in the holiest of holies, because no other Levites were allowed to touch anything used in this inner chamber.
Numbers 4, 1 through 15, 18 and 20.
The other sub-tribes of the tribe of Levi were given other duties within the priesthood. The Kohathites were in charge of bearing the Ark of the Covenant and the vessels packed by Aaron and his sons.
Numbers 7, 9.
The other families of Levi, the Gershonites and Merarites, carried their items on wagons and oxen.
Numbers 7, 6 through 8.
The Gershonites were in charge of the services in the tabernacle of the congregation, bearing the curtains, the badger skins, and instruments.
Numbers 3, 25 through 26, 4, 28.
The Merarites also provided services in the tabernacle of the congregation, and were in charge of the boards, bars, and frames of the tent of meeting, the pillars, sockets, pins, cords, crossbars, posts, bases, and other instruments. All these duties were taught during their wandering and were to be followed when they came into the Promised Land. During the wandering, the Kohathites camped on the south side of the tabernacle.
Numbers 3:29.
The Gershonites camped on the western side.
Numbers 3:23.
The Merarites on the northern side.
Numbers 3:35.
And Moses, Aaron, and his sons on the eastern side.
Numbers 3:38.
After Joshua died, Israel fell into apostasy and strayed from keeping the Levitical office and its ordinances, which is why the nation was in constant turmoil, conquered, and made tributary by the surrounding nations, specifically the Philistines. When the children of Israel entered Canaan, they were instructed to rid the land of the wickedly corrupt and idol-worshipping inhabitants, and to make no treaties with them. The Israelites only partially obeyed, and from this sprang many evil consequences to them. During this period of wrongdoing, there are seven such periods described in Judges, God raised up tribesmen in Israel who felt the departures from Yahweh as a burden upon them. They were the patriots and religious reformers who believed that blessing and prosperity were inseparably connected with obedience to Yahweh's laws and commandments. There are not many mentions of priests or Levites in the book of Judges. Levites are mentioned only in chapter 17, where a Levite named Micah was mixing paganism with Yahweh worship, which is why verse 6 reads, "In those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes." Chapter 18 is also about unqualified priests. Chapters 19 through 21 is the story of the tribe of Benjamin, which had become pagan homosexuals and tried to take advantage of a Levite and also ravaged a woman to death. This sparked a civil war between Israel and the tribe of Benjamin, in which the Benjaminites were almost wiped out. Phinehas was the high priest at the time. The Levites and priesthood was in disorder and not operating at full capacity. The time period of the judges covered 400 years. When the 12 tribes became settled after the days of the judges, King David numbered the Levites and reintroduced their duties.
1 Chronicles 23, 24 through 27.
Song leaders and skilled musicians conducted worship services.
1 Chronicles 6, 31 through 33, 39, 25, 1 through 7.
Gatekeepers and ushers were appointed.
1 Chronicles 9, 17 through 24.
Trustees.
1 Chronicles 9, 26 through 31.
Treasuries and treasurers were set up.
1 Chronicles 9, 26, 26, 20 through 28.
Under King Solomon, the temple was built and the services continued according to the established order set by Yahweh in the wandering. After Solomon died, Yahweh split Israel into two houses, the house of Israel and the house of Judah. There were Levites appointed to each of the tribes of Israel, and Jerusalem was where the temple and the high priests conducted their services. The nation and the priesthood had its ups and downs, and by the time of Christ, it had run its course, had become apostate, and eventually replaced with Edomite Jews in its final days. Finally, the third stage of the priesthood, Christ takes over forever. Everything must now go through him. Although we are a holy nation, a royal priesthood, as a people, there is no more priesthood office, no more priests. There are no more ritual ordinances or sacrifices anymore, and no man is above any other man. Each man is the priest of his household, but there is no order or rank among us that puts anyone above or below another. We must each come through our present and eternal high priest, Yeshua Messiah.